week-long mission trip. And fortunately, William can't be here, but these guys are going to share some of their experiences. And it's kind of cool because we're starting a new series this morning, and it's going to tie right into what we're doing this morning. And so one of the things about mission trip, it's like a double blessing. These guys all went to be God's blessing, representing New Crossing Church with another youth group. And I won't say too much, they'll share about it. But so two different churches, youth groups went out to bless others. But also, when you do that, when you serve God wholeheartedly, you get blessed right back. So we're going to hear about this.
So the original plan for our team, the original plan for our team was to go to City Church this morning as a whole team. And while we were down there, I think God really spoke to the leadership at City Church that we needed to do this here this morning while it's fresh, to split up the teams. And so City Church this morning, their crew is, they have three different services and they're doing what we're doing here this morning. And then tonight at 6, those of us who don't have a graduation party will go to... and that's a total out, dude. We'll go there tonight to get to share our testimonies. But so I had to make sure we recorded this. They're recording theirs, and because there is a oneness that you'll hear, I think, that made that important. So anyhow, thank you. I think that's the first thing we all want to say is just thank you. Thank you for everybody that had anything to do with allowing us to go. I'm just trusting that God can give you, either already has or will give you, a real share. It's one of the most important principles that in missions is to understand that team is not just everybody who's on the ground. Team are those of you who gave us stones to go, to remember to look for altars. Teams are financial supporters and intercessors and serving as senders. It's a great book. Read it sometime if you feel a stir to missions and you never feel like, I'm not really supposed to go, but missions really stirs me. That's what it's about. So anyhow, I just want to blow through, really. I don't want to shortchange it, but I want to blow through. Did it stop? Something goofy happened, didn't it? So go look and see if you still see the number rolling. It stopped, didn't it? Yeah, we've got the audio? Okay, good. We're pretty attractive, though. I want them to have the whole. Yeah. So I don't want to... The thing I most want to hear you guys to hear is their testimonies, but I did think it was important. You just had a general idea, you know, what we did. So we went to Belize. If you don't know where Belize is, check out the map. I just want to say in terms of favor, your prayers, the travel was almost flawless. You know, a couple little issues, but seriously, no delays, no significant problems. Stop it. we might have one of the little issues on stage here. No, it really was. I mean, seriously, the things that happen if you talk to people that have gone to missions were just so minor. Travel was flawless. Weather was the coolest. The leader, the guy who's been there many, many times, coolest it's ever been. There was a tropical system, Cindy, that ended up coming up. Not you, the storm. That ended up coming up and hitting the states that started as a tropical depression off of the Yucatan Peninsula. So it spun a ton of cloud cover and rain that actually hindered a little the building, but not much. But it kept it cooler and it kept it easy, you know, easier to sleep at night. A ridiculous amount of food. They served three meals daily. It was regular. It was really part of team bonding, sitting at tables with different people. The team dynamics... You know, you just wouldn't really know that we were from two different churches. It was so good, not only between churches, but even between members. If you guys know Danny and Will, you know, occasionally there's a little friction there. And I saw a little of that, but even those guys were like, wow. No, so it was really good, all the team dynamic stuff. The primary things we did down there was building this clinic. You may have heard about that already, but we built a clinic for a guy who has a ministry, physical therapist, has a ministry to disabled children. And so that was a big part of what part of the team did. We had too big of a team to really do that. We only had one day that the whole team was at the site. Most of the time we were split up. Some were building and the rest of us were going out to schools. Several different schools we went. One on Saturday when there's no school, we had like a sports camp on the base. So they bussed in some kids from the area and we played different sport, basketball and different games with them. Lots of fun and games. If any of you guys ever played Mafia out there? You know what Mafia is? Okay, well, you guys do, I know. But it's one of those things that's almost more fun to watch than it is to play. But it's huge with the kids, and they played that a lot. Partly because of the weather, I think, but partly based on the wisdom of how to build a mission strip for youth. There was just so much fun built in. It was awesome. And then we had two church services. Sunday night, we went to a church, and at both services, we had a number of people, and I think all of us were part of prayer teams, teams of two that went up front at the end of the service, and we invited the church to come up and pray, and there were just powerful times that I don't have time to get into, although they may be part of some of the testimonies, but just about every night at base, if we weren't going to church service, we had a service ourselves. It was not just this little, every morning we had devotional, which was maybe 20, 30 minutes, but every night we had church, and it was awesome. There was worship, and Pastor Tom from City Church had a message prepared for each night. He'd prayed into that before he went, and it was so every night was just like, wow, only God could have known how to arrange that kind of stuff. One night we had a special healing service that we invited churches and people into, so we were the ministry team again and got a chance to pray for people. Awesome testimonies there. Yeah, we just won't do it justice in half an hour, but we'll do our best, and then you can come and talk to us about more of it. Just on that note, I also want you to know that we are the prayer team this morning, and we're really excited about that. And so don't be surprised if you try to sneak out if a team member actually physically apprehends you and brings you up. Seriously, if you've got a prayer need this morning, this would be a great morning to get prayed for, and I don't say that with any sort of vanity or whatever, but God moved in power, built up confidence in who we are, that we carry his spirit, that we hear his voice. And this is going to be a good morning in prayer. Whoever gets prayed for is going to get blessed, not because of me or them. All right, so yeah, we got to see Mayan ruins. If any of you guys on Facebook, you may have seen some of those pictures. Old Belize was amazing. It's like a Wisconsin Dells thing right in the ocean with salt water, but all self-contained, protected, no worries of being eaten by a shark or stung by a jellyfish, or it was just protected, huge water slides, rope swing. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. And then, three or four different trips to Western Dairy. The Belize's best attempt at El Frappe for anybody who went to Puerto Rico. The ice cream was awesome, but you still got to go to Puerto Rico and have El Frappe, just saying. All right, so that's just a breeze through of what we were doing down there. The facility was very nice. The hosts were amazing. It was bunks, typical, but comfortable. And again, because the weather was cooler, it was a little easier to sleep than I would have guessed. Still very hot. So I just want to talk a little about school ministry real quick. And we started every school ministry, we laid a foundation with a scripture. And so I thought this morning I was going to let Spencer do that for you.
I need everybody to stand up.
Not yet.
Okay, fine. We're going to teach it to you. All right. So I'll do the words, and then you can follow after me. They'll help out. All right. So for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a peaceful mind. 2 Timothy 1:7.
All right, let's do it again. A little faster.
All right, a little faster. All right. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a peaceful mind. 2 Timothy 1:7.
Nicely done.
As you might guess, the kids thought that was pretty funny. So I lost track of how many schools we went into. I think the coolest school for me was the one that had a snow day. Only it wasn't a snow day. They call it, it's a rain day. And so when we pulled up, we knew the driver knew something was wrong, could see that there weren't that many kids. And we had gone through, if you saw any pictures, we'd gone over a bridge. The river was pretty close to the bridge. And I could even see where the driver was like, this isn't really good because there was so much rain. And, you know, it lasts for a couple, 3 days. It keeps rising. And so the teachers were afraid that they would not be able to get home and they didn't come in. So they literally had a rain day that would be much like our snow days. So. But there were enough kids around, and the bus driver just said, hey, you know, should we just do it for who's here? And we did, and it was awesome. So anyhow, several different schools, and built primarily on that scripture to try to cast vision for getting rid of fear. I know a lot of us could talk about what the kids told us when they were afraid of, and a lot of it was pretty intense, demonic kind of stuff, and you know, parents, and a lot of it was just, you know, snakes and things like that. But that opportunity, you know, to hear the word of God and to have him and kind of trade that fear in for power and love and peace. So that was demonstrated primarily through two skits. One of the skits was Jesse and David, when David gets picked out to be anointed to be king. And that was always really cute, especially the sheep. I had a particular fondness for the sheep. Josh was a sheep. So, of course, David's out with the sheep, right? So, and so Samuel goes through and tries to anoint them all, and none of them are the one, and David's the one. You guys mostly probably know the story. But anyhow, so that skit was acted out. Then we broke out with the kids and just asked them, you know, do you feel left out? Oh, also started that skit with God does not look at the outward appearance. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And so just trying to encourage them in those places where they felt neglected or left out or not chosen, you know, that that doesn't happen in God's economy when we have his heart. And David had God's heart, right? Man after God's own heart. So a little breakout time to talk to him about that. Then back to a David and Goliath skit that was highly entertaining. And then another breakout session after that where they just allowed, we allowed them to talk about what they were afraid of. And then when time allowed, it was all pretty quick, but when time allowed, we prayed for them and just asked God, you know, to help them make that exchange, their fear for God's spirit of power and love and peace, peaceful mind. I think a lot of translations say different mind, but we landed on peaceful. So, yeah. That's it. That's the heart of what we did, with the exception of I haven't really touched the building side of it, and I want Aaron to do that because he was the New Crossing foreman. I also have to say I asked everybody to wear their Belize shirts. Aaron said, mine is still dirty from the trip, and I was like, that is so appropriate because he worked like a dog.
Yeah, so... the building that we did, typically with this ministry, they build homes, and they've built over 98 homes for different people down there in Belize, which is pretty amazing when you think they're doing it for like $7,000-$8,000 for the cost. But this year, it landed on, like Clark mentioned, for this physical therapy clinic for disabled children that had varying different struggles and physical complications, and... But the building itself was 600 square feet, so it wasn't terribly big. But when we showed up, the floor was pretty much, the floor structure was there, and we took it from there, and we put up walls and built the trusses and put the roof on and put on all the siding and built the interior walls. And, you know, I think the building site was the most challenging, not necessarily just, I think, just the conditions. There was one point on a Saturday where one team had gone in the morning and we had to send a whole separate team in the afternoon because it was just too hot. I mean, I was literally dripping through my shirt within a half an hour of being there is how hot it was. And even at one point, the ministry leader, Ron, he was having some heat exhaustion. So it was pretty intense heat. But the team worked together great. Sometimes we had... a few too many people there that knew what to do. But there was a lot of grace and a lot of willing hearts to just tell me what to do, you know. And so some people would move rocks and, you know, others would are handing in nails and making Gatorade for other people that really needed it. And it was just really neat. And when they had some free time, they would go tarantula hunting, which was always kind of neat. So they're pretty neat spiders. So that was really neat. And then at the end of the week, we had an opportunity on Thursday afternoon to dedicate the building. So the physical therapist, Juan Pablo, showed up, and so did some of the families and the children that are going to be served there. So it was just a really special time. We took some time and wrote scripture on the inside of the walls of the church, or of the building, that are going to be there forever. And then we took time to pray for the children and the families, and then prayed and dedicated the building for that ministry. So it'll be really exciting to, if we ever get to go back, to see that in full use. But I'm sure we'll have updates and stuff on Facebook from Oasis Ministries. And yeah, it was really neat. It was fun to see everybody kind of come out of their comfort zone and do something different, and just all work together to accomplish it within just a few days. So, but I think at this point now we're going to have the guys share their testimony of what happened once they get through. Then Clark and I will share ours. Will obviously isn't here, so he did write something up, and Danny's going to share what he wrote for what had touched him, and then we'll just go down the line. And alphabetically, everything we didn't, yeah. So we'll go by first name. So we'll go Danny, Josh, and then Spencer will wrap it up.
So originally, before the trip, I didn't know what to anticipate or what to expect, and it was kind of like a fear in me. Like, I didn't know exactly what was going to happen, what the compound we were staying at was going to be like, which actually turned out to be amazing, and just with the schools, for the building, just the temperature, the heat in general, and just for the ministry stuff. And so there, as Clark said, we did services basically every night, and there was one night we did a Holy Spirit, was it like the font? Yeah, filling in the Holy Spirit. And I didn't go up at first to get prayed for, and then I was one of the last people to go up, and Austin, one of the guys there, was praying for me, and then Pastor Tom came over, started praying for me, and were you behind me? Aaron was behind me, and Pastor Tom didn't touch me at all, and he told me to put out my hands, and just all of a sudden I felt this rush of the Holy Spirit just coming into me, and as I did that, I felt like something was actually like pushing me and forcing me down into Aaron, who caught me, and then Pastor Tom continued to pray for me, and I just, complete life changer for me, and just being able to feel God's presence. And other than just that in general, that was pretty good. And just to see what, probably one of the coolest things for me other than that, was seeing other people being healed as well. Like, for the people we prayed for, I'll let Aaron say then his concern, he prayed for somebody. It was a pretty cool story. And then for the kids, being able to minister to them and seeing how much fun they had, and just hearing their a slight bit of their stories, and just being able to kind of give them like a fun moment, and just kind of like a mentor. I don't know what to somebody in their life that said that we cared, and just explaining like you don't ever have to be alone. God's always with you. And it was cool. So we were on the way back, and there was a girl that was sitting next to me, and her name's Lydia. She was another girl in the group, and she struggles with planes a lot. She has like something wrong with her ears that like she has like excruciating pain when she was high up in pressure. And that was for the first flights, the day that we were going there. And I think one of the youth leaders from City Church, whose name was Doug, prayed for Lydia. And she shared this God moment that she didn't feel any pain anymore. And I just thought that was a really cool thing, showing what God can do. And there was, other than all stuff, it was really cool to meet the group. I was very happy. God blessed, like, all of us with a fantastic group. Everybody got along. Mafia games were really intense. Very fun as well. And I just truly blessed that God put me on this trip and with the team, and I love every person. I love God. So, So this is Willis. He said, a big God moment for me would be when we went to Fusion Church, which was one of the services we went to that Pastor Tom also did a sermon at. And he said, and we got to see how many people across the world really loved God. And he said, in the U.S., it's easy to think that Christians are the minority, but down there, there were lots of people who were Christian and open with about their faith. And there was a lot of people at that church. I'll vouch for that. Like, they had people that weren't able to, like, sit down. They just ran out of seats, mainly probably because we had 36 other people there. But and so he says, seeing all the other people there were there who I had never met also reassured me that God has no boundary or no borders or boundaries. And he said, he is as relevant in beliefs as he is in America. And a good memory I will have is climbing a mango tree and shaking the branches till enough mangoes fell for me and anyone who wanted some. They had a huge mango tree in the compound. And he said, and then having the Belizean kids teach him how to eat the mangoes. And over the course of the trip, he said he got to see how involved God is in everybody's lives around the world. And he said, he would go back to Belize in a heartbeat. So.
I'm my father's son. Bear with me. So going to Belize, I had a lot of expectations. I think I came to realize what I really desired was expectancies, things that God had already in store for me, but not things that I wanted, not things that necessarily connected to his will. My biggest expectancy was wanting to go and see these guys transformed into the life that I'm already sort of living. I wouldn't say I'm a step ahead of them, but I've kind of already got a taste of what the Holy Spirit is like and ministering to other people, praying for other people. I've been on the prayer team. Now seeing these guys, like, standing up with me is just amazing, and I feel backed up, and I feel kind of like I was a part of that. Like, I actually got to kind of introduce him to it. God did all the work, but he used me. And then as for, like, the trip, I think the highlight for me, my altar moment, the thing that I'll remember the most is probably the Holy Spirit night. And it wasn't necessarily because of the fact that I got to experience it, which I did. But as I was on the ground, like, I think it was pretty close to the time Danny was, I felt led to get back up to kind of escape that amazing Holy Spirit feeling. I felt led to minister to people while they were being anointed. And I got tons of words of knowledge for people, things that made them cry, things that only they would know. There was this one kid, well, he's not really a kid, 20 years old, named Dylan. He was standing up, waiting to be anointed. He was being prayed over. Nothing was happening. And I felt led to say that there's a knife in your back, and I prayed over him, and I actually physically used my hand to take this knife out of him, and he fell over as soon as I said, knife, be taken out in Jesus' name. He fell over, and I thought that was amazing, and I just feel so used by God. I love that. I love that he would choose to anoint and to use someone as simple and someone as, I don't know, as human as I am. So being able to be a part of the team was amazing. Be able to, I wasn't on the work side a lot. I was actually playing with the kids, and that was probably one of the biggest blessings I could have asked for, was to be able to kind of be the guy that the kids looked up to, not very far out, but, I had kids hanging on my arms, and I had this one special girl that I'll never forget. I don't know if... he's not here? Okay, well, Mr. Jennings was there at the night before the Tuesday night before we went to Belize, and he told me to be on the lookout for a little girl, and she was, her name was Amani. I found her there. She was the first Belizean girl that I'm, or Belizean person that I met at the compound. She almost was like expecting me, and it was amazing. And almost made me want to cry when I saw her. What did almost bring me to tears while I was there was she brought me back a rose, which I don't have with me, but not a real rose, but a fake rose that she had bought herself from some place. I don't know where it was, but that really touched my heart. I found out after getting to know her that she's feeling really rejected and really she's been called ugly and not wanted and everything. So I did my best to reach out to her. And I told her before I left, she gave me something to remember her by. She gave me a card with Elsa's face on it. Elsa's from Frozen. I said that I would keep the card, but I had her going down on one knee and tell her to tell me to look me straight in the eyes and say that you're beautiful. And that was probably my highlight, was to see a beautiful daughter of God who's feeling rejected be redeemed through me. It was such a beautiful moment, and I don't think that I will ever forget that. And then as for the team building experience, besides just getting these guys to collide with City Church and become one big family, everybody had something special to bring to the table. And I loved seeing everything that was brought to the table being used and kind of becoming one big project, I guess. Everything had kind of been put together exactly the way that God wanted it to. Everyone who was on the team was meant to be there, and everybody who wasn't was there in spirit. This whole trip was amazing, and it was also the first missions trip that I've come back healthy from, which was awesome. There had been a fear in me saying not to go, but I knew that it was just a lie, and I know that my heart is set on ministry, and this trip to Belize just completely consolidated it, confirmed it, sealed it. I felt led to put on this ring that I'm wearing right now when I got there. I'm not going to get into it. If you're actually really interested about it, you can ask me. It's a purity ring. Got it from Belize. That was probably my second favorite highlight that I got there. And everything else I think has been pretty much covered. So, yeah. Belize. Go Belize.
Yeah, I just want to say, too, we probably won't all get through our testimonies, but if you guys want to hear more about this, I'm going to hang around afterwards. If any of the guys can hang around, we'd love to talk to you more about specifics.
All right. I'm just going to read off this because it's probably easier. But, yeah, so like Danny, before we had even started or even gone on the trip, I had my doubts from the first Belize meeting or the City Church youth group meeting I went to. I was skeptical of what I was getting myself into. I remember attending my first Activate meeting, and I, of course, was by myself. And although I felt very much welcome there, I didn't feel like I was a part of anything. And growing up Christian, I never really had my faith challenged, and I just felt lukewarm and kind of like it was unused. And at that first meeting, I was looking around at the people worshiping and in the small groups, and I was just seeing all these people that were just on fire for God, and they knew so much of what they were talking about. And sure, I had read some of the Bible, but not only did they read the Bible, they could understand it and apply it, and I was thinking to myself, gee, I don't have any of that. I'm not going to be able to do all this ministry stuff, and I'm not there yet. And, well, what I found out was God meets you wherever you're at. He doesn't care what you know. He's not way off in the distance yelling at you to hurry up and get close to him. He's right there by your side encouraging you and pushing you because he knows it's not easy. And that's just kind of the picture that I got from him. And that I'm not alone in that feeling. So this is kind of my altar moment. But right before we had left, we held a prayer meeting at New Crossing, and I didn't really want to go to it. there was plenty of other things on my mind. I had graduation, my party, thank you notes, finding a job, and all that to occupy my time. But my mom was wanting me to go and pushing me to go, so I went. I don't know, around that time I was listening to a song called Dive by Stephen Curtis, and that kind of word stuck in my mind. I didn't know if it was because it was a good song, which it is, but I got this weird feeling that I now realize was the Holy Spirit. In that prayer session, it just hit me that God wanted me to jump into this mission trip. I've never really been on one, and I didn't have any expectations, but I felt that God was just wanting me to go for it and do something that I really wasn't willing to do. And Darcy Camps even gave me the marble that had the word dive on it before I left, and that was really cool, and I'll explain that. So still feeling unsure of what I was doing. I was following blindly to whatever odd feeling I got, which is probably not the best advice, but in this case, it worked out. One of the first nights, several team members opened up their hearts and shared some really powerful stories, and to people they didn't know really any of us, and it was one of those really cool moments. But it kind of encouraged me to open up my ears and hear what God was saying. So there was points where I was actually singing at services, which was a rarity prior. I even ended up praying and receiving prayer in a way I had never felt before. I wept and I felt joy, and it was this whole new light that I felt with the Holy Spirit. And to top it off, at one of our healing services, I got this feeling that I was supposed to ask one of these youth leaders. His name was Doug. I really didn't know him before. I had talked to him a couple times, but I just had this feeling that I needed to talk to him and ask him. So I went over to him and I asked him to come up with me to receive prayer. Sure enough, after one of the team members, after a while, we went up there, and after one prayed over me, Doug prayed, and I quote, that I would continually dive deeper into your spirit in pursuit of you. That was all the confirmation I needed, that the Holy Spirit was always speaking to me. It was just if I was willing to listen. So that's my encouragement, to continue to listen to God, even as this trip is over, to just... He's got a big plan for me, and it's if I'm willing to hear it and follow through. So, yeah, all in all, it was an awesome trip, and I just feel really encouraged and blessed that I was able to go.
A becomes a full C.
So, coming into this trip, for some of you were here for the Tuesday night prayer meeting, and one of the things that I had asked prayer for was, because you go as a leader, and I'm focusing on these guys, like I want them to have a great time, I want God to show up in their life, but then my prayer was, just that God would show up in my life too, and obviously He's big enough to take care of everybody. So it was really neat. We're into the trip a few days, and we had some really neat experiences, like these guys have shared some of the, they call them camp services at nighttime, where it was just our group, and it was basically a church service. And so really great things were happening, and I knew it, but I was like, and I knew we were going to be doing this. And so I'm thinking, like, what's going to be my testimony so far? I don't feel like I've, like, experienced God in this new and powerful way, and I don't have this experience to share. And coming from my background of a very conservative church, the Holy Spirit, the way that He works and moves, wasn't really recognized in that most of my life growing up. And the last several years of my journey here at New Crossing, and then, preparing for this missions trip, really, I've grown a lot in my understanding. So I was really hoping and expecting to have something, an experience with the Holy Spirit like I haven't before. And turned out that Monday was my day. The previous Sunday before, we were at the Fusion Church, and we were part of the ministry team, went up to share, and Me and my partner were kind of tucked in a corner, and there was one family that was sitting in front of us, but no one was really coming back there. And finally, the family stood up, and this father, his name was Ben, asked for prayer for his son. I was struggling with a lot of different things and a broken relationship with him and his son. And we prayed for him. I'm like, oh, that's great. I didn't think anything else of it. And then that next morning, we're finishing up devotions, just kind of waiting to find out what the plan was for the day. And Pastor Ron, the ministry leader down there, gets a phone call, and it's Ben's wife. And, you know, part of my prayer on that Sunday was for the son. I just prayed, Lord, if you have to break this child to bring him back to you, you know, we don't want that to happen, but if that's what needs to happen. Well, that Sunday night, he was in a head-on car accident, and the Lord spared him from a lot of injury, actually. But that next morning, it was like God was, you know, seeking me out, is what I felt, because they called and they wanted that same team that prayed for the father. They were going to bring the son to the camp that morning. The father took off of work. The wife came, and Kevin showed up and shared some really hard stuff. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, I don't know what to pray for this guy. You know, this is real. He was broken, drug addiction, drug dealing, all kinds of stuff that was just really, really hard, stuff that I've never experienced. And you know, he's sharing. He won't look at us. And you can tell he's just covered in shame. He grew up in a Christian as a youth and then walked away from it. The whole time he knew that he was, you know, he was feeling guilt and shame. And so it was Clark, I, and then another student named Ashlyn that were praying for him. I was sitting there listening to him at that point. And he finished sharing, and it was time to pray. It's go time, you know. I still didn't really know exactly what to say, but we entered into prayer, and I just felt the Holy Spirit and God just give me the words, and just a powerful, I mean, I felt energized, and we just prayed for this guy. I mean, he's 20 years old, I think. You know, he's not a kid. He broke down weeping, on his knees, crying, and I just spoke the truth of God's word into his life, and we all did, and it was just a really, really powerful moment for me. And we talk about altar moments of what am I going to remember, and I think that time of prayer for him was really my moment that I felt like, okay, I walked away from that. I had even written in my journal the Sunday morning before we even went to that church, I feel like I'm waiting for an experience, God, but I haven't had it. I don't know if it'll happen. And then, you know, the next day. So he's got a long road ahead of him, and we've got some contact information for him. And Clark's got a portion to that story, too, to share that I don't know if we'll have time right now, and there's just so much more. I mean, we saw God work throughout this entire trip in all these little details and little ways that was just amazing. I've got more to share, but I don't think we have time. So, please come talk to us. I think all of us would be happy to kind of tell you what the Lord had done for us in our lives this week. So, in addition, so.
Yeah. Yay, God. So my portion of that was just when the phone call came in and Ron started to speak what was going on. I've had these moments. I actually just had one on stage where I get blindsided by the Spirit and I just begin to weep for reasons. Although this, I think the prophetic word is what made me cry today. But this was like I have no idea what he's saying or what he's about to say, and I'm weeping. Because I know God's doing something. And so I hear head-on collision, and I don't know, you know, nobody knows. Is he dead? Is he in critical condition or whatever? But as the emotion, the blind side of the Holy Spirit, you know, making me cry went away, I realized immediately it wasn't grief. It was this is what you do, God. This is what you do. And so I just knew I was supposed to be part of that prayer time and got to watch it all. And I prayed some, but it was fun to watch Aaron experience. And Ashlyn will tell you, too, the young man had never experienced anything like that. Was just shaking and it was God's love. That's what he was praying over and praying into this. It's just like, and he was telling him, it's like, I can barely stand it. I'm the power of God's love. You know, it was awesome. All the different things I could testify, my altar moment, honestly, it's the whole trip. God didn't give me one. He gave me a trip that I'll just never forget. And most of what I would try to say about it is honestly, I think it's a little too deep for words. God's doing a work in my heart, has been for a long time, in birthing deeper and deeper, deeper levels of compassion in areas of my heart that have been walled off for a long time, with pain and things like that. And so that's been my prayer for a long time, more, you know, peel back those layers. And I came home just knowing, even though I couldn't tell you exactly how it worked, that God did this incredible work in my heart. And the primary vessel was watching these kids. If I have a feel bad for any of you for not being there, it's above everything. It was not being able to watch these kids, your kids, their kids. It's just the glory of God is man fully alive. And this was a huge group of young people at an age when I was so lost and so not alive. And to watch how much they love each other. How much, you know, even, you know, the dynamic male-female dynamic where I would typically look and kind of go, oh, I don't know, you know, just the ability, the purity of it for them to embrace each other and you know, and pray for each other. And I'm sure there's some of that, you know, typical teenage stuff in there. But for the most part, I saw love in operation in ways that just moved my heart and inspired me and gave me awe and hope for a future that says, if this is the next generation, if this is the next generation, loving God, loving each other, loving others when we went out, oh, it was just glorious. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And thanks, Craig, for church, for making time for us to share this morning.
So Paul's writing to a church in Corinth. And I really believe this passage kind of just gives us somehow, we'll see, an anchor for what you were just hearing in all these stories. But verse 4 begins with, such is the confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, did we not just hear that this, yes, what God was doing was through these young men and a couple old guys, not that old, but they recognized, wow, this wasn't from me. I'm not sufficient. I don't have what's needed to be able to do the kind of things I saw God using me to do. That's a cool way to live. And their confidence is anchored in who? Christ. So if you go through life trying to anchor your confidence in what you're capable of, you're going to really disappoint yourself. But if you live by this new covenant, and by the way, this new covenant is the covenant of grace. And grace is what God gives us, though we have not earned it or deserve it. Grace is a salvation from our sinful selves because God just loves us that much. Grace is a relationship compared to the old covenant, which was based upon the law, and that all had to do with duty and just living up to this do's and don'ts as an expression of purity, something really good. God's commandments are wonderful, aren't they? Why are God's commandments so wonderful? You said yes. Oh, they reflect the character of God, and God's character is good. And so that's the covenant of grace, and it's empowered by God. It's connected into a relationship, just not Ten Commandments of how we're to live. And so it's this beautiful thing. Verse 7, let's go on. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters of stone, what's that referring to? Ten Commandments. And it's a ministry of death because not because the commandments are bad. We already established they're good and they reflect God's character, but they're death because we can't perfectly live them. In letters of stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glory? So in other words, when Moses went up to the mountain, if you watched, you know, Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments movie, if you, he'd come down the mountain, or if you read your Bibles in the Old Testament, he'd come down the mountain and his face was glowing because why? He had went up Mount Sinai into the very presence of God. He got to meet God face to face. And so when you come into the presence of God, you can't help but glow. And so he'd come down the mountain. But this was all based upon him going to meet God. And when he comes down the mountain, he leaves God's presence and the glory would fade and you know, and just... And so he'd cover his face in the beginning because the glory was so great, but it just kept fading, fading, fading. And so he covered it up so the Israelites wouldn't see that. But there's this covenant, this ministry of the Spirit that was going to be coming with Christ that was even more glory than the glory that Moses had, as cool and awesome as that was. For if there was a glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, talking about the old covenant, because of the glory that surpasses it. So there is no comparison between trying to live in your own power the way God wants you to live and failing and getting forgiveness and failing compared to the glory of living by his Spirit of grace, which is acceptance, not based upon what you do, but just based upon his love for you. Amen. Indeed, this glory had no glory in comparison. Then it says in verse 12, since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites would not gaze at that outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Let me finish the rest of it, starting with verse 17. Then I want to close with something. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Did you not hear how much you were hearing about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God being Spirit in those testimonies? Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know, when it is the Spirit living in you and not the law, you don't carry that yoke, that burden of sin and the guilt that comes with it that weighs you down and it creates shame in you, and shame is a prison and fear is a prison. And when God by grace comes and lives in you, though there is this wonderful fear of the Lord where there is perfect love, there's no fear because God is perfect in his love for you. And so there's freedom. And we, verse 18, and we all with unveiled faces beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So you got to choose. I got to choose. Because even today, though Christ has come, we can go to church and live really under the old covenant, under the law, always trying to be good enough, prove ourselves worthy of being loved by God. God, I'll do better. I promise. I messed up. Don't leave me. Don't forsake me, right? And it's like he never even, that thought never passes his mind. But do you see the contrast? There's a huge contrast. You can live by the commandments in your own ability and strengths, but that's fading. The glory of Moses was fading, but what did this, how did Paul just end this chapter? Moses' glory was fading. What was this new glory doing? Ever increasing. One is fading. The glory of living under the new covenant in Jesus Christ and his Spirit is an ever-increasing glory. So you, precious ones, sons and daughters, if you will trust him, surrender your life, not just get saved, but say, you are Lord of my life. You have authority in my life. There will be an ever-increasing glory. And you will be transformed. And you got to see that in the men that were up here on the stage. Sign me up. See, you don't walk down, as a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ does not walk down the mountain anymore and leave the presence of God like Moses. You are continually in his presence because he's not on a mountain. He's in your heart when you invite him in. And he will come and live by this, his Spirit in you. And so it begins what God always wanted. Did you know that God called all of Israel, not just Moses, up to the mountain to meet him? And they said, no, just tell us how to behave better. And God said, have your way, have your wish. He doesn't force his love or his relationship on you. It's an invitation. But now Jesus went up on the cross to put to death the penalty of sin and was buried in a grave. But when he rose up, he takes us with him by his Spirit. So that's what I feel like God wanted to speak to us from this passage this morning.